you, George, for those kind words of introduction, and thank you for your warm welcome. It's really good to be here in North Carolina. One of the songs that I play in the radio sometimes is In My Mind, I'm Going to Carolina. It's an old song, but it's amazing that I'm here by God's grace. So, yeah, we've been going through sessions about getting ready for missions and how to be equipped for missions. And so today, this morning, I'd like to focus on being encouraged to do God's missions. And just a word of encouragement for many of you here who are already involved and you're serving God in your various capacity. I hope that this message will be encouraging and help you to keep going. You know, missions is like a race. We're all running a race, right? And sometimes we feel tired, sometimes we feel like giving up, and we need someone to cheer us on. We need encouragement, and that's what God's Word does for us. Not too long ago, I brought my family to the Grand Canyon. How many of you have been there? Yeah, it's an amazing place to visit, and we actually went in February, so for the first time, we went there as a family, and we started hiking down this trail. And to our surprise, there were no guardrails, there's no safety features, and it was also slippery because there's some ice and snow along the way. And so our children were really excited walking down this trail, but as parents, we're getting pretty nervous, okay? Any fall could be detrimental, and so sometimes the kids are walking and say, "Look, Daddy, there's a bird," and we're shouting at them, "Stay on the trail, stay on the trail, focus on where you're going." And that was a very exciting but also nerve-wracking experience. But this got me thinking, you know, how can we stay on the trail? There are so many things that could distract us, right? As we follow God's path, as we pursue His calling and missions, so many things that could lead us astray and sometimes discourage us. So, as we think about the life of Paul, he definitely went through plenty of discouraging times. When he wrote this book, 2 Corinthians, he had battles from the outside and battles within. Take a look at some of these verses. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure beyond our ability to endure, and we despaired of life itself." And another verse that says, "For we wrote to you out of great distress and anguish of heart, with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you." So Paul faced all kinds of pressure in the ministry, doing missions for God. He faced opposition and false teachers, people who wanted to stop him from what he was doing. At the same time, he faced opposition from fellow Christians who misunderstood his motives, questioned him. I wonder what kinds of pressure you may be experiencing this morning. As I look around, some of you are students, high school students. Maybe you're taking the SAT this weekend, or, you know, there's all kinds of pressure to succeed, to get good grades, right? Especially Asian parents, and they have expectations of you to get really good marks and good grades. And once you graduate, there's pressure to get into a good university, right? And then later on, as you graduate, there's pressure to work, to get a good job. You know, maybe the ideal job that your parents want you to, the kind of career that they have in mind. And as you get working, you know, there's pressure to move up the ladder, to get more salary, to experience some success in your workplace. And then you have a family, there's pressure to raise children, you know, to balance work and family life. And so throughout life, you and I will experience all kinds of pressure, all kinds of challenges. And sure enough, in the ministry, as you serve God in missions, you will face pressure. You will face opposition. What should we do during those times? How can we respond to difficulties and challenges? Paul has a message for us from 2 Corinthians. Let's take a look. If you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. And the first verse in this chapter says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." I want us to just pause for a minute and ask for God's blessing upon His Word today. We look to You once again, Lord God. You are the author of this book. We ask that You speak to us through Your book. And let it be a message that will encourage and challenge and push us out of our comfort zone. Do Your will. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul says, through God's mercy, we have this ministry. And again, in verse 16, repeats the same phrase, through God's mercy, we have this ministry. We do not lose heart. See, the Great Commission is not some agenda that this missionary or your pastor is trying to push on you. It's really from God. God is a God of missions. And He has entrusted this important task to each one of us. And so we can be assured that this is something that comes from God. And because we have this ministry, by His mercy, by His grace, we do not lose heart. When Jesus ascended to the Father, He says, "As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. I'm sending each one of you out into this world to be light, to be salt, to be His ambassadors." And so we receive this ministry from God. That's why we don't lose heart. God has called us to do something, and He will give us the grace that we need. The story about a son who came Sunday morning. He didn't want to go to church. So the father came knocking on his door and said, "Son, it's time to wake up. It's time to go to church." He says, "Dad, I don't want to go to church today. I'll give you two reasons, Dad, why I don't want to go to church." "What's that, son?" The son says, "I don't like those people at church, and they don't like me." And the dad says, "Son, I'll give you two reasons why you must go to church today. One, you're 35 years old. Two, you're the pastor. You better be at church." And sometimes pastors and missionaries, you know, we can be discouraged, and there are times when we struggle to get out of bed and to do what God has called us to do, right? So what do we do during those times? I just want to share about my own life as a missionary. After graduating from seminary, my wife and I, we pastored a church for a little while in Pennsylvania. It was a very good year of ministry. You know, we were surrounded by young couples like ourselves. We had our first son in Pennsylvania and many young couples in this church that we're a part of. And it was such an encouraging year. We started a fellowship in our home, and all the time we could worship with them and listen to sermons in our own language. You know, sometimes I would preach, sometimes I'd hear another pastor preach. It was very encouraging. Then we went to Thailand. We went to Bangkok. For the first time, as a young family, we were out of our comfort zones together. We struggled to find encouragement from others. We were part of a very small church plant, and there were no other young couples like ourselves. And sometimes it was so pressurizing to do ministry and see so little results, and I was frustrated, and sometimes I would get into an argument with my wife. We didn't know how to resolve our conflict, and we didn't have any pastors or anybody that we could really turn to and find help. And so as a young family, I went through some challenges on the mission field. But by God's grace, He brought us through those times. Eventually, we sought out some mentors and some experienced missionaries to counsel us, to help us get through those times. And years later, my children are teenagers now, like some of you here. We're going through the turbulent teenage years, and you know, those of you who are in your teenage years, it's not easy, right, being a teen. You know, you have all kinds of crises with peer pressure, identity, and all kinds of stuff. And as parents as well, we have challenges communicating with our kids. I said the other day, my son had a YouTube channel at one time, and actually one day I got a call from my principal and say, you got to take this video off the YouTube channel because he's wearing a school uniform and he did something that he shouldn't have done on the YouTube channel, so we had to, tell him to take it down, and the school was reprimanding him. So there's all kinds of challenges that we can go through in life, including parenting. And especially in the ministry, we will go through times of doubts and discouragement. We ask God, why am I here? Am I in the right place? Did I hear your calling right? There are times when we try to lead people to the Lord. We thought that these Thai believers, they're moving in the right direction. They started studying the Bible. But they face some family pressure, some opposition, and they begin to fall away. It was so discouraging to see some people decide not to come to church anymore and even give up their faith. There are times when we face opposition from our own colleagues. And the most painful experiences come from disunity in our own team. There was one time when another missionary couple and ourselves, we decided to go our separate ways. It was a very painful experience then. So what do we do during those times when we feel discouraged, we feel doubt, we wonder whether we have the strength to carry on, and even spiritual warfare? And as we serve the Lord in the very dark place where there's lots of idolatry, lots of people who don't know the Lord, there's a lot of opposition spiritually. And sometimes we can sense these times of darkness, even just walking around the street. But the Bible encourages us, we look to God's mercy as a source of ministry. God's grace is what encourages us. We remind ourselves that we've been saved by grace through faith. And this is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God so that no one can boast. In the same way, we are in the ministry because it is the gift of God. God has given it to us, and God will ensure that we finish well one day. So we allow ourselves to rest in the grace of God. Now, we allow ourselves to be free by the grace of God. We don't need to impress anybody. You know, I don't need to tell you how successful I've been as a missionary or try to impress you. You know, God's grace has freed me. I realize that I am a sinner saved by grace. And today I can be involved in missions, in ministry. Wow, what a privilege. I'm free by His grace. I don't need to impress anybody. I don't need to try to portray an image of a successful person or try to, you know, show you how great my family is. No. I'm a sinner, and there are times when I do fall short of God's glory. There are times when I struggle with temptation. There are times I simply fail to meet certain standards. And during those times, God shows me that I need Him. He shows me that I am a human being. I'm a sinner just like everyone else. And He shows me that I stand before Him by His grace. I stand before the audience of one. I'm a missionary today not because I'm trying to gain anybody's approval. I stand before God. And I will stand before His judgment seat one day. And I hope that I will be faithful to Him. So by God's grace, I continue to serve the Lord. And I want to encourage you to look to His grace as a source of your ministry. And especially of those who may be feeling discouraged, when you attempt to do something hard, you're going to fail, right? How many of you are getting to extreme sports, for example? You know, I started bouldering. I started rock climbing, okay? Because I said, you know, my basketball knees are wearing out. I can't run anymore. So I'm going to try something. So I started doing some rock climbing, and I'm falling all the time. And when you attempt to do something hard, you're going to fall. If you're in your comfort zones, you're doing the same thing you're doing all the time, you're not going to make any mistakes. You're just going to, you know, cruise through life. But when you attempt to do something hard for God, and you step out of your comfort zone, and you try to glorify God among the nations and reach out to those who have never heard about the gospel, you're going to bump into some hard places and you're going to fail. But I want to encourage you again that when you fall, God's grace is like a safety net. You know, you can just fall and you just let yourself rest and you know that God's going to catch you. And then you can get up and you try again. You get up and you try again. Right? So those of you who are going through times of doubts and discouragement, just know that His grace is sufficient for you. You get up and try again. You know? Keep doing what God has called you to do. Amen? Amen. The second point I want us to look at is God's truth is what is the substance of our ministry. I want us to look at the next few verses from chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Sorry, I can't see that far. My eyes are not very good, so I'm going to turn around, if that's okay, and look at this screen here. Those of you can see it, why don't you read out loud with me? Okay. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So Paul says here, we do not distort the gospel, okay, but we set it forth plainly. We let people know what Christ has done for them. It's very simple. We let people know that Jesus came to this earth. He died on the cross. He's the mediator between God and man. And by trusting in Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven of our sins and we can have eternal life. This is the very substance of our missions. And communicating to the gospel to unreached people can be pretty challenging. There are two mistakes that churches or Christians often make. We can say you fall off the horse on either side. Okay, on one hand, sometimes we're afraid to offend people. So we make the mistake of compromising the truth, compromising the gospel. We want to be politically correct, you know, so we don't want to just, you know, say the truth too strongly. We make it a bit softer. Sometimes missions becomes giving relief, giving food, giving shelter, and we want to do a lot of humanitarian work, but we're afraid to say the gospel. And so I want us to think about that. You see, the acts of compassion are very good, right? All of us are called to love our neighbors. We're called to show mercy. That's something that we all should do. But unless we share the gospel, unless we let people know that Jesus Christ has died and risen, we haven't really accomplished God's mission. That's why Paul says, we do not preach ourselves, but we preach what? Jesus Christ as Lord. We preach the gospel. We let people know that Jesus is the King of Kings. And that's a pretty powerful message. Back in the Roman days, in the Roman Empire, somebody says, Jesus is Lord. They could be put in jail because Caesar was the Lord of the Roman Empire. And so to say even the phrase, Jesus is Lord, is a confrontation against the powers this world, and it's pretty dangerous. It's pretty risky to say that. But the Christians in the early days, they were bold. They were willing to give their lives just to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we can fall off the horse on either side, okay? We can compromise the truth by becoming too soft and too scared to say what's right. But on the other hand, we can end up ignoring culture, okay? And we try to knock people on the head with the gospel. We don't pay attention to their interests, to their culture, and our message can become irrelevant or not understandable. I'll give you an example. There's a woman who tried to give cod liver oil to her dog. She said, she read this article that it's really good to give cod liver oil to your dog. So every day she puts it in a spoon and she chases after the dog, okay? And she's trying to feed the dog this cod liver oil, and the dog just runs away, and it's really hard to feed her dog. And finally, one day, in the process of trying to feed her dog, she knocks over this bottle of cod liver oil. And what does the dog do? The dog comes and licks it up happily. And she finds out that actually the dog loves this cod liver oil, but it just didn't like the spoon. And this is an illustration of how sometimes we can present the gospel in a way that offends people because of the way the tools that we use just aren't very palatable, you know. We instead of presenting the glorious gospel that attracts people, that gives life, you know, we do it in a way that's insensitive, in a way that's not attractive. So that's another thing to be aware of. But the important thing here that Paul wants us to notice, we look to God's truth as a substance of our ministry. We must present the truth of Jesus Christ in His fullness. And this is why we invest in long-term missions, as well as short-term missions. So this morning we talked about the impact of short-term missions. So we need to continue to invest in long-term missions, because people who are on the field for long-term, they learn the language. It takes about 3 to 4 years to learn the language well enough to teach the Bible. Okay? So it took me 3 to 4 years and I was able to begin preaching in Thai. And you begin to preach the gospel in its fullness. You can teach the Bible and make disciples of local believers. And that requires long-term, sustained commitment to long-term missionaries. And so, short-term missions has its place, okay? It has its place in raising awareness and getting our congregation excited and to see young people come back on fire for the Lord. But we need to continue to invest in long-term workers in order to see unreached people discipled, learn the Bible, become indigenous in their culture. In recent years, I have a chance to raise up Thai leaders by teaching in the Bible seminary. But I just want to give you a quick glimpse of what I've done over the years. Ooh, some of the font looks funny. So, who are the Thais? They're a people group in Southeast Asia. And here's a popular phrase I taught earlier about how to say hello. But if you want to say God bless you, you can say the words Prajao. Weipon. That means God bless you. Next time you go to a Thai restaurant, you can say that. Alright, we want to say it together? Prajao Weipon. Okay, that means God bless you. And the Thai people have their own language and their food. And how many of you like Thai food, right? It's great. It's spicy. And you get cheap Thai food in Bangkok. You don't have to pay a lot for it. These are food that you usually know about, the pad thai, the tom yum, but there are also local food like bugs and other things that you may not have tried before. I'll be sure to give you a chance if you come to Bangkok and visit me. Thais are mostly Buddhist, and so even young boys are expected to become a monk for a little while to make merit for their parents. So it's a strongly Buddhist culture, and it's challenging to share the gospel with young men and women. There are 12 million people in Bangkok, where I work. It's a very big city, very diverse. People come from all over the place. There are business people, there are students, there are migrant workers. So you can see amazing shopping centers in Bangkok, traffic jams, but also slums and poor neighborhoods. God is at work in Thailand. So in the last 12 years, we've seen the Christian population double. Just praise the Lord that God is working. It used to be only about 0.2% went up to 0.5%, and now we're about 1% Christian. Still seems very little, but God is bringing people to himself in a slow and steady way, and it's so exciting to see Thai people worship Jesus Christ. And we are part of a team of international missionaries coming from all over the world, and we have a chance to work with different people groups. Some of us are involved in reaching out to the slums, and some have church plants and cell groups. And my focus has been training leaders. As I said, that God has helped my family to be there for many years, so we know the language. And after a while, we begin to invest in the lives of pastors, younger leaders. We want to see them become spiritual, biblical, faithful servants of God. And so I spend time coaching them. I would make appointments and sit with them some weekday morning and just listen to their struggles, pray for them, and let them know that I care for them. Let them know that I'm journeying together with them. And they don't have to be discouraged. They don't have to give up because someone believes in them. And so that's part of my role. We have training seminars for these pastors and church leaders. Their churches are often very small, so average church that I work with has about 40 to 50 people, and sometimes these pastors get discouraged, and we want to get these churches together and have revival meetings and training seminars so they can exchange their experiences and sharpen one another, encourage one another, especially the young people. They need friends, like right here. You know, I see about 40, 50 of you, and you have each other. But in these small high churches, there's often only 3 or 4 high school students, right? So they get discouraged, and what do? So we want to get these churches to network with each other. So we got the youth together, and there's about 100 of them, and they have wonderful events together. We have worship nights and conferences, and this is just the committee of youth leaders. They get together in Bangkok, they plan for events, and so it's wonderful to see God working among the youth in Thailand. I've been involved in Bible teaching in a seminary these past 3 years. It's encouraging to see young men and women give their lives to serve God. They're being prepared to be future pastors and missionaries in Thailand. And so we look to God's truth to be the substance of our ministry. And may God give you wisdom and sensitivity as you pursue His mission's work. May God help you to know how to communicate His truth without compromising. At the same time, being sensitive to culture and learning what the people are interested in. So coming to our third point, our final point, we look to God's power to strengthen us. God's truth is the substance of our ministry. God's mercy is the source of our ministry. And finally, God's power is what strengthens us. Do we have power in ourselves? Do we have strength in ourselves? There's a song, I got the power. We don't have strength in ourselves. We look to God's strength. Let's look at these next few verses. Let's read together from verses 7 to 12. 1, 2, 3. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is a work in us, but life is a work in you. This scripture tells us that we are like what? Like jars of clay. Okay, you jars of clay, you pick them up, you throw them down, they'll smash to pieces. They're not very strong. Okay, but what's precious is that inside of us we have the treasure. We have Christ. The life of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that's our source of power. In Thai times of discouragement and times when we have doubts about whether we can keep going, we need to look to Christ. We need to see that He is a source of power. And sometimes He allows us to experience this power when we are willing to die to ourselves. And that's why this passage says, when death is at work in us, life is at work in others, right? When we're willing to deny ourselves and take up the cross, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is able to shine through. And this is a paradox of the Christian life. Only when we're willing to die to some of our own needs, our selfishness, what we like to experience, what we like to do, only when we're willing to give up our selfish ambitions, we'll see others rise up. We'll see the power of Christ at work in us. There are many examples in my life. I just think of how coming here, you know, it wasn't easy, right? Flew for 30 hours, and I was thinking, man, is this going to be worth it? I'm coming all the way from Bangkok just to be here in North Carolina, and Monday I'm going to fly back. And part of me, my flesh, says, you know, is this going to be worth it? And I have doubts about my own abilities. But as I think of it, I'm willing to just surrender to the Lord. When George invited me, I prayed about it. That it's God's purpose that I'm here with you today. And I'm speaking to many of you, but I do believe that some of you will sense God's prompting in your heart to take that step of faith and become missionaries or become a strong supporter of missions. And so God brought me here, and I'm dying to myself, you know, especially jet lag. You know, right? And it's just a little thing, you know, but Friday night, you know, I'm just like really busy. Saying, Lord, please help me to get through this. And God's power came through. God's help was readily available to me. So that's something that you may experience in your life as you're willing to follow Jesus. Sometimes you'll be called to do something hard. Sometimes God will challenge you to reach out to somebody that you don't really like. To be a friend of someone that you don't find to be attractive or easy to get along with. But you got to obey Him and die to yourself. And Christ will use you. Christ's power will be seen when you're willing to obey Him and follow Him. There's a lady named Lottie Moon, and her story is amazing to me. She's a very small lady, shorter than 5 feet, and very dynamic missionary. So the Lord called her to go to China. God's call as a single woman. She lived in the Shandong province in northern China. And during the time, there was a famine. So Chinese people were starving. They didn't have food. And here's this single lady, Lottie Moon. Every day, she'd buy her portion of food with whatever allowance that she had. And then she would share her food with the Chinese people. And this went on for 1 or 2 years, you know. She had her portion, but she would just give to people, whoever came to her, because people were literally starving and dying around her. And she shared whatever she had, and her health was deteriorated. You know, she got skinnier and skinnier. And her colleagues came and visited her and said, you need to go somewhere and eat properly. You're going to die here of starvation. But she wouldn't leave. She just stayed there in that province and kept reaching out to the Chinese people and kept giving them food and giving her life. And finally, she got really sick, so her colleagues came in and just grabbed her and put her on the ship and said, go back to America. You need to recover, because she was really skinny and really sick. And finally, when she was on board the ship, she died. And when they found her, they weighed her, she was only 50 pounds. Can you imagine? 50 pounds. So she literally starved herself and gave her life for the Chinese people. And as I read about the story and I heard what happened afterwards, many young men and women heard about her sacrifice and they responded to the call of missions and they went out to China and to take her place. She gave her life for for the people there. And young men and women dedicated their lives to go to China. And she was one of the first Southern Baptist missionaries. And because of her sacrifice, many went out. And this is a paradox of Christian life. When we become like a grain of wheat that falls into the ground and dies, Jesus promised us that He will multiply our sacrifice. He will bless it with so much more. Today, I'm not calling you to die because someone already died for you. Christ died for you. He paid the price so that you can be free. And you have the freedom to choose what you want to do with your life. God's not going to force any of you to do something that you don't want to do. He died and He set you free from sin. And He gave you the freedom to choose what you want to do with your life. With all the gifts and abilities and experiences that God has given to you. Paul exhorts us, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." In view of what Christ has done for us, He gave everything for us on the cross. What are you willing to do? Grace didn't come to us cheaply. No. Christ gave everything for us. And He wants us to give our lives to serve Him. Where is God calling you to go? What may He want you to do for the next 3 to 5 years? My silence is intentional because I want to give space for God to speak to your heart. Words of man are limited. Only the Holy Spirit can speak to you. This is the chance for you to just listen. Listen to God's voice. Christ died for you on the cross. And He says, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." Where may God be sending you? Who may He want you to reach out to? How can you be involved in missions? Listen to the Lord and respond to Him this morning. Finally, whatever challenges that you are facing today, whatever doubts or discouragements that you may have, just remember that we can look to God's mercy as a source of ministry. Remember that we are saved by grace through faith, and that His grace is sufficient for you. We can look to God's truth as a substance of our ministry. Be bold and courageous in sharing the gospel. And look to God's power to sustain you during those difficult times, during the times when you feel like giving up. Know that you are just jars of clay, but His power is in you. Amen? Let's look to the Lord again in prayer.